בוקר טוב, השתבח שמו, ערב שבת שלום, חודש טוב, גשמק המייסס, מי שנכנס אדר, מרבין בשמחה. Can everybody hear me in cyberspace?
Yes.
איפה אתה? הראיני את מראיך. Oh, there he is. Anyway, בקיצור, so, this is ראש חודש אדר, באחד באדן משמעין, הנשקנים על הקלעיים, very happy time of year. This is for sure the most Persian month of the year, that's for sure. This is like right, I mean, doesn't get more Persian than this month. Anyway, so bekitzur, we have to prepare ourselves for Purim. There's a lot of halachot. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that in our calendar we have 2 months that are back to back with Nisim Niflaot and Alagut Zachon. So as follows. So Bezat Hashem, we'll speak about this week. We'll get our feet wet with a little bit of the halachot, bits and pieces of Mikra Megillah and the other mitzvot of Purim. Bezat Hashem, next week will be our famous annual Shiur B'Dikduk. We'll talk about Dikduk and all sorts of things for Megillah and for Parashat Zachor and for Allah Gute Zachin. Bezat Hashem. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, if you call and you don't get answered, what do you do?
Call again.
Call again. If you're going to answer then, keep calling. Anyway, the Kitzus, he says like this. We have to learn from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't block anybody. Yeah? Nachon? Can you imagine we kept on calling Hashem and calling and calling and calling and Hashem blocked us? Chaval l'zman. So you have to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem doesn't block anybody. You shouldn't block anybody either, unless they're nuts. Now, as follows. So he says like this. When it comes to Purim, and I'm going to kind of skim through the halachot, like we spoke about last week, the underpinnings of the minhag of Zecher L'Machatzit HaShekel, I'm just going to tell you basic bullet points for this year, as it stands today. Okay, can anybody search real quick, because I don't have a browser, can anybody search what the current price of silver is right now?
$25.57.
Oh, so it went up.
That's per ounce. Okay.
Yeah, per ounce. So you got to divide, do 25 per 57, 25.57 divided by 31.1 times 9.
It's 739.
739. So right now, based on this morning, the current price of 9 grams of pure silver, which was the weight of the Machatzit HaShekel coin, is about $7.39. If you round it off to the nearest whole number, it's about $8 or so. And therefore, I'm going to go move over a little bit, get out of this light thing.
Take the sandwich out of there.
Huh? Oh, that's no issue. Anyway, Bekitzur, so if you do that, it comes out to about $8 per person. Ashkenazim have it easy. Their donation for Zecher L'Machatzit HaShekel is about $1.50 per person, whereas for us it's about $8 a person. But don't worry, we have a freebie when it comes to rice on Pesach. So we're actually paying for the rice on Pesach with the Zecher L'Machatzit HaShekel. Anyway, mikol makom and slichot. So
why is the Sephardi one so much more expensive?
Why is it so much more expensive? Because whereas Ashkenazim are making a nominal donation of 3 coins of the half denomination in that place, which is, you know, the denomination here is a dollar. So what's half of that? It's a half dollar. 3 half dollars equals $1.50. In Israel, it's even cheaper. What are Ashkenazim giving in Israel? Chatzi shekel times 3. No, is a shekel 50. A shekel and a half. But Sfaradim, Midure Dorot, we don't give that donation. We give the donation of the actual value of the Machatzit HaShekel coin, which was 9 grams of pure silver, hence $8 per person, preferably men and women and children, even unborn children. Yeah. Wow. Aval. No. I'll say in a minute. Mikol Makom, if it's too expensive, sometimes a person is a big family. No, yeah, but that's the Davar Shelo B'Olam. But since it's for kapara, just like we tend to do kaparot also for unborn children, since Zecher L'Machatzit HaShekel is an element of kapara, so we try to do it for them also. Now, if you can't afford $8 per person for all the members of the family, that's fine. preferably to donate that amount for mom and dad, right? Husband and wife. And for the kids, you can give the $1.50, you can give as much as you can, right? The point is that, you know, the whole idea is that it's supposed to go to tzedakah, preferably like the Ruach Haim. Rabbi Nochaim Palachi writes that it's supposed to go to Talmidei Chachamim specifically, needy Talmidei Chachamim, yeshivot, kolelim, that support Talmud Torah. That's where this donation is supposed to go to, not to random aniyim. As opposed to matanot le'avyonim on Purim Day that can go to random aniyim, zechel machatzit ha-shekel is supposed to go davka to Talmidei Chachamim. Needy, needy Talmidei Chachamim.
Why?
Yeah. Do you know any yeshivas or kolas that aren't needy?
Yeah, there's like some yeshivas
in Israel
that are very wealthy and stuff like that.
Okay, so then you give to ones that are needy.
Yeah. Don't worry, there's no shortage.
There's no shortage of needy Talmidei Chachamim, yeshivot, kolelim, and things of that nature. Yeah.
Why do they multiply by three?
What do you mean?
Why is it?
Because the Torah says in the context of Machatzit HaShekel, it says Terumat Hashem three times. So we multiply that the half denomination by three, corresponding to the three times the Torah says Terumat Hashem. So, best time to give this, says Agon. Really, you can start giving it from today already if you want to lock in your rate for the Zechel Machatzit HaShekel, because you better believe that, yeah, just like gas, silver is, yeah, leave it to Joe. Yeah, but you better believe that by the time Purim rolls around, it's going to keep inflating. Yeah, is gas over $4 yet?
Close.
Did it hit four?
Some places. Yeah. Five in California.
How much is gas on Middle Neck Road? F-A-10.
$3.75.
Yeah? So,
$45 to fill up a small car.
So, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, that's thanks to our fellow Iranians in the Ukraine. Mikol Makom Rabotai. So, anyway, Mikol Makom, Shamata Edze? Anyway, the Kitsu, you have to show him. Yeah? Nachon? Diary? Huh? No, let's say it. Anyway, Rabotai, you have to listen very carefully. The Kaf Chaim writes that the best time to give this donation is on Ta'anit Esther, even though you could technically do it now, but the best time to do it is on Ta'anit Esther, because then you have the added Zechut of the combination of the Ta'anit plus Tzedakah. Now, with regards to Purim night, everybody's always excited about Purim night. For some reason, some people are more excited about Purim night than Purim day. And we know that the primary mitzvat Megillah is when? Is during the day. During the night was only an add-on from the Chachamim. But Purim day was actually, the reading of the Megillah on Purim day was actually from Megillat Esther, from the Nevi'im. What's interesting is there's a certain Gadol that wrote that there's a minhag for women, and he wants to uphold the minhag of women only coming to Mikra Megillah during Purim night and not during Purim day. There's a whole Torah on that, and Maran Zichron Bracha really blasts it out of the water, and he says, Chas v'shalom, to say such a thing, and that minhag is batel umvutal, has no basis in halakha whatsoever. Everybody's chayav in Mikra Megillah, both men and women, equally during the night and during the day, with the day being the primary Mikra Megillah. So, with regards to Mikra Megillah, Bezat Hashem, like I said, next week we'll deal with some dikduk ideas and rules. It's always, dikduk is a very, very important thing. Dikduk means precision in Hebrew or Lashon HaKodesh grammar. So that is an art that many people, unfortunately, don't acquire adequately. So hopefully I'll try to harp on that next week. So in terms of Mikra Megillah, you have to be, you know, first of all, rule number one that the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ovadia speak about very much is everybody likes to bring their kids to Mikra Megillah, and you actually should bring your kids for mitzvat chinuch. But they both say that if it's a child, not only for Megillah, but anytime for tefillah, if it's a child that is under the age of chinuch, and all that child is going to do, he or she is not going to be able to sit through it, and they're just going to scream and cry and carry on and whatever, maybe shul and maybe Mikra Megillah is not yet the best place for them. Because at the end of the day, yes, Purim is very child-oriented, obviously, but Mikra Megillah is still a mitzvah. And in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to hear it. So if there's going to be, you know, a balagan, so maybe it's kedai not to bring such children, only children that can basically sit through it and are able to you know, sit down and maybe not necessarily listen to every word, but at least not to make noise throughout the Megillah. And they, you know, you have to follow children that can follow the signals of when to make noise by Haman and when to stop.
A lot of schools at night that have a separate Megillah reading for women, so they can switch off
the face. Vaday, that's the best thing. You know, they do that so that if the, you know, the woman or the man can stay home with the children, babysitting, and they have another minyan or another reading later where you can go, but you don't bring children who are not there yet to come and mess it up for everybody else. That's,
are you okay if I'm looking at the reader?
Looking?
I mean, like, you listen to the words, but you can't repeat it. But you hear everybody saying.
As long as you hear the words and you're listening intently, you're okay.
I was meaning intently.
So here's what I mean by intently. I'll explain. And this happens a lot. Rabotai, I want you to listen very carefully. La'alacha, like the Gemara tells us, when the Megillah is being read in Lashon HaKodesh, you don't have to understand a word. Yes? How does the Gemara prove that? Because there are certain words in the Megillah that even if you're fluent in Lashon HaKodesh, you still have no clue what it's talking about. What are the words the Gemara refers to? Ha'achashteranim b'nei haramachim. Which the Gemara says, what in the world is that? Nobody knows. And yet...
That's the sons of the spear holders?
No, that's Ramachim with a chet. That's Ramachim with a chaf. The Gemara says, nobody knows what that means. Even if you're fluent in Lashon HaKodesh. So, and yet we're Yotze. Apparently, you don't have to understand to be Yotze. The only time you have to understand what's being read in the Megillah is when Rabbi Isai. No. When's the only time you have to understand the words of Megillah reading? No, mami. Takshiv to. When the Megillah is being read in a foreign language. When the Megillah is being read in a foreign language, which is okay, in order to be okay with that reading, what's the halacha? The listeners have to understand that language.
What about the language of Greek?
No, so Yevanit is machloket tanaim between Rebbe and Rashbag. Now, but at the end of the day, tekshivatam. But the only exception to that is Lashon HaKodesh, which is how we read the Megillah. When Megillah is being read in Lashon HaKodesh, la'alacha ul-ma'aseh, you don't have to understand a word. But what do you have to do? Listen to every word. If you miss listening to a word, then according to the Ran, according to the Rashba, Pashtu Da'at Marana Bet Yosef, is that you are not Yotze Yedei Chovat Mikra Megillah. Hence, okay, everybody, now, here's the interesting thing. Marana Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person reads the Megillah while dozing off, Kira'ah Mitnamnem Yatza. Yeah? You ever watch a Baal Kore dozing off as he's reading the Megillah? I saw it once.
Really?
I actually saw it once. You know, you got to give the guy a benefit of the doubt. It's after a fast, he's tired, he's hungry, whatever. So as he's reading, it takes skill to doze off. Not as you're listening, as you're reading. Yeah. You know those people who can fall asleep standing?
Can you fall asleep eating?
Yeah, that's probably. Everybody falls asleep eating. Watch this Shabbat table on Friday night. Everybody. I don't know actively while, you know, during the bite, but it's very common in most mishpachot that the aviyah, it happens to me all the time. The aviyah mishpacha, the father, even other people, during the suda, between the courses, or during the zmirot, or whatever. So, you know, the head bob, you know, those, it's the yadua. No, yeah. Well, as if, maybe it's mitzvah. Yeah. No, it's just like this. Yeah.
You still always get those on TV.
Yeah.
Times in a row,
either
restart on the
dark, and
falling asleep after people.
Awesome.
How long do you sleep for before you have to repeat the whole Megillah?
Oh, so now, wait, hold on a second. Yeah, how's your Persian? No good? If I tell you Gushkon, tell you that. No, okay, so now he says like this. Yeah, Bekitsu, Gushkon is it's a slogan.
It means listen.
Now, so he says like this, Rabotai, yeah, listen carefully. If a person reads the Megillah, dozing off, yatsa. However, says the Bet Yosef, as quoted by the Mishnah Berura, if you're listening to the Megillah and you're dozing off, what's the halacha? Not yotze. Why? Because if you're listening and dozing off, what can we assume very highly?
You're missing out.
That you missed some words, dozing off. So you're not yotze. So therefore, the poskim talk about what happens if you're listening, but you didn't doze off, but you spaced out. The Megillah is very long, right? That's why we say in Yiddish, a ganze Megillah. Because the Megillah is long. It's 11 prakim. So what happens if a person's listening to the Megillah and he spaces out? No? What's the halacha?
Was that 11?
Yeah. In Persian, it's called Gij.
Yeah, Gij Manai.
They were also 11 prakim?
Yeah, 11. Maybe 10? Maybe 10, yeah. With the last bit of being very small. Yeah. So now listen carefully. So the halacha is, depends what kind of spacing out. They're spacing out where you're still focused. You can be thinking about your own thing, but you're still focused on the words that the Chazan is saying. Yeah? There's some people. Yeah? If that's the case, you're Yotze.
But you're still saying the words.
No. Because that's autopilot. If you are spaced out to the extent, not falling asleep, but you're spaced out to the extent, even though you can maybe hear the words in the background, but you're not concentrating on the words, you're concentrating on your spaced out, you're not Yotzei Nechama. Now, listen carefully. If that happens by Shmona Esrei, you're Yotzei as long as? Say the words obviously, but you have to be Mechavin at least by the first Beracha. If you're not Mechavin by the first Beracha of the Amidah, lo Yotzei Dechova. According to some of the Tanaim, which some of the Poskim bring down, if you weren't Mechavin by the first Beracha of the Amidah, how can you partially fix yourself? By being Mechavin by? Which one? Birkat Modim. By Birkat Modim, if you're Mechavin, according to some Poskim, you Yotzei over there also. Now listen carefully. You shouldn't, because the Ramah holds, this is how we hold today also, the same way you weren't Mechavin in the first bracha, by your first amida, we have to suspect that by your tefillat nedava, you're also going to be engaged. You're also going to.
So once you finish the first bracha, you should never go back.
Now listen carefully, Rabbi Yisai. Based on this, many people commonly, what happens if a person has his own megillah that's gan eden ale adamot? Why? Because then you don't even, you're not contingent on the shliach tzibur. You can read yourself, you can make your own berachot yourself, visit. The issue is that by a majority of the population who don't own a kosher Megillah, they're just hearing the... So, first of all, if you don't own a kosher Megillah, don't read along from a Chumash. Do not read along from a Chumash. Be silent and listen along while following from the Chumash. Do not, if you have a kosher Megillah, You may read along from your kosher Megillah. That's not a problem. You don't have to, but you may. But if you have a printed Megillah, if you have a Chumash, you have a whatever it is, where you have a printed Megillah, do not read along. Lashevet b'sheket, be quiet, and listen along from the Megillah. Sabkon?
Sabkon.
Yeah, that means be quiet?
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Sabkon means wait.
So, anyway, Bekitsur. House of Sabkon. House of Sabkon. Takshiva Tishon. Rabotai, listen carefully. What do you do? Yeah. If you have, let's say you fall behind, you fell asleep, you came in late, you spaced out, and now you have a kosher Megillah, no problem. What do? Quickly read the words, catch up. The issue is, what happens if you have one of the above over there? You came late, you fell asleep, you schmoozed, you spaced out. You missed a few psukim, but you don't have a kosher Megillah.
You're done.
Now what? Zil, you done? Toast?
Not
toast. Another 45 minutes. You're not toast. The halacha is, as long as a majority of the Megillah didn't go by, which means as long as at the end, cumulatively, at the end of the Megillah, you will have heard a majority of the Megillah being read from the Chazan, and you're only reading to yourself a minority of it from the printed Megillah, the halacha is that your kriya, you're still Yotzei.
49%?
Yes. Therefore, if you spaced out for a few psukim, or even for a pidin, and then you snap back into it, and you realize that, or let's say you come in, happens all the time, double time. This is Murphy's Law in the flesh. You know what Murphy's Law is?
Something that's going to go wrong is going to go wrong.
Yeah. So now, always happens, you know, when you call a zman for Mikra Megillah, the Minyan, or the zman for the Mikra, you wait for everybody to show up, and you even push it off 5-10 minutes. Why? Because you want to let people, you want to give people a chance to pack in. You waited even 15-20 minutes late. Now you're starting Vahidi Me'a Hashverosh. Two psukim in, what happens?
You walk in.
There's still people, more people coming in. Alo, alo, I waited for you. Now, even if you miss one word, you're not Yotze. What should these people do? Even from a printed Megillah, they can quickly make up reading to themselves these psukim that they lost from the printed Megillah, quickly, quickly, and then catch up to the Chazan. Once they catch up to the Chazan, what do you do?
Shake it.
They can make the bracha themselves too.
They don't make it in the Megillah though.
But they're, nachon, but they're hearing the majority of the Megillah being read from a kosher Megillah from the Chazan. They can make a bracha, tekshim, make up the few psukim or even a perek or even a few prakim. So long as they hear majority of the Megillah being read from the Chazan from a kosher Megillah, they are kol beseder. You understand? It happens almost to everybody.
It's suck it.
Huh? Suck it?
Suck it.
Suck it, bash. Right? Bush. Now.
Can I ask a question?
Now.
Can I ask a question?
That's what they call out to the women, no?
Because they're talking.
Yeah. Suck it,
bush. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. That's not, again, that's not a Persian thing. That's universal in every shul. In every shul, ladies, it's always
like no one else. It's like, yeah? It's like shuck it, but suck it.
Yeah, so, Rabotai, that's with regards to that. I want to tell you something else. Now, as follows. Sometimes the men in the shul are worse than the women. It's unbelievable. It's like a niflaota bore. Men are silent creatures by nature. At home, it's hard to get, especially between husband and wife. You'll see, Bezat Hashem, hopefully you don't do that. But sometimes it's hard to get even sentence out, from a husband. And then they come to shul, and then their talking is like tchiyata metim. It's like, you can't stop it. It's such a, I don't know what it comes from. It's like a taiva. I don't know. Anyway, Bikitsur, Mikol Makom, listen carefully.
Every beginning of every
Aliyah. Asur, you're not allowed to talk in a shul. Talking in a shul is
right before they start the Aliyah. One minute, every time.
You can't talk in shul. I'm talking to people who don't talk in shul. I know, But you have to spread the word. Talking in shul is avon gadol meod. It's a terrible, terrible isur to talk in shul. Such a bizayon to the shechina. Shemirachim. It's really bad. Anyway, I always say you don't have to really think much about it. Just think back to COVID, and then think back to COVID, and then think how shuls were closed for 6 months, and then contemplate talking in shul. No, it's a really humbling thought. Back to the Megillah. Many times the Kahal is very big. And because the Kahal is very big, even if the acoustics in the shul are great, but the way it works is the more packed the room becomes, even a room with great acoustics, what happens the more bodies there are in the room? What happens to the acoustics?
It goes down.
Because the human body absorbs the sound. So the acoustics are less. So many times, even though the acoustics are good and the chazan has a good pair of lungs and whatever it is, but he can't really be heard too much. The question is, it's a very, very interesting idea that's discussed among the poskim, if you're allowed to read Megillah with a microphone. Now, everybody agrees that you cannot read a Megillah through, I shouldn't say everybody, but most poskim agree, and this is the halakha, you cannot read Megillah through a telephone. Or through Zoom. This was a big thing during COVID. People wanted to do Megillah through Zoom. And lahalacha, people are saying, well, Zoom is better than nothing for Megillah to stand. And that's false. Zoom is not better than nothing. Nothing is better than Zoom. Lahalacha. Meaning, in terms of being Yotzei Dechova, Zoom does nothing for you. And neither does the telephone. Why? Because those are only computer-generated or digitally generated voices, frequencies.
Isn't it true, not for Mekam Yirah, but isn't it true in the Chavad Ha'ach like bad about hearing Slichot and answering Amen?
That's a different story, because over there you don't need to be hearing the code. You just need to know that it's happening. It's a different story altogether. However, by a microphone, that's a different story altogether. Even though Agon of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in this Shuk Minchat Shlomo discusses how the sound that emanates from a microphone amplification system is also a digitally generated, modified sound. Nevertheless, Maran Zichrono Berakha in Yechavei Da'at, in Chazon Avadia Purim, he says, listen very carefully, he says, first of all, if you're sitting far away from the Chazan, such that you would not be able to hear his natural human voice without the amplification of the microphone, he says you are not yotze, period. Because all you're hearing, really, is the microphone. And as we've just established, the microphone is not a human voice. Nevertheless, he says, very, very, I would call it original, but also controversial, psak halacha from Maran Zichrono Berakha, is that those who are sitting close enough to the Chazan that would be able to hear him without the microphone, meaning the voice that he's reading at now, and also are hearing the microphone, they're yotze. That's what he says. So he makes a chiluk very interesting in the same shul that the Chazan is reading with a microphone. Maran Zichrono Berakha says you could have some people being yotze and other people not being yotze. It's a very interesting dynamic. For that reason, Hagaon Rabbi David Yosef in Yechavei Da'at did not allow the Chazan, which was me, to read with a microphone because of this issue. You can't have a situation where in the same shul you have some people being yotze and some people not being yotze. It just doesn't work. It's not fair. Therefore, what? Tell everybody to be sakit, yeah, and tell the Chazan to raise his voice a little bit, and then you know we'll take it from there. That's with regards to that. Another shaila is, we know that a chirish, a deaf mute, or even a person who is deaf, not a deaf mute, is not yotze the Megillah, and also can't read the Megillah, right? Because since he can't hear it, he can't read it. A very interesting shaila that Maran Zichrono Berakha and other great poskim discuss, what happens if a person's not deaf, but he's hard of hearing? Yane, he's hard of hearing, and he can only, I don't know if you know, in those times, for people who are hard of hearing, you know what they used for hearing aids? They had like little trumpets, you know, that like amplifiers. What happens if a person's not completely deaf, but he has trumpets in his ears? Or more commonly today, he's not going to have trumpets, but he's going to have hearing aids. Is that person yotze mikra Megillah by hearing the Megillah through his hearing aids? Or do we, and by extension, do we say that such a person can be a chazan for mikra Megillah? Yes or no?
I mean, if we're by the same logic here as we do to using a microphone and Zoom, then
the assumption, no. Oh. And to be the reader, yes.
So Maran Zichrono Berakha writes that both hearing through hearing aids, you are Yotzei Dechova, because over there it's different. You have a human voice that's going into, he explains the mechanism is a little bit different. The mechanism of the hearing aid is different than that of a microphone. And therefore, he says, without getting too nitty gritty, a person listening, a person who's hard of hearing, and has hearing aids, and hears Mikra Megillah through that, is Yotze, and therefore by extension, if such a person wants to be Chazan for Mikra Megillah with hearing aids, what's the halacha? He may. Now.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You said regarding the microphone, that if someone's close enough, then they're good. What if they're able to hear the voice, but they can't, they wouldn't necessarily be able to make out every single word?
No, you have to.
Like, it's a giant show. You'd be able to hear his voice. Every word you have to make out.
Hear his voice, you have to be able to hear every word. Which means usually,
Then what's the point of the microphone?
Oh, that's exactly the point. Because the people who are sitting right around you, they can hear you anyway. So what are you using the microphone for?
Far people.
But the far people who can't hear you are not Yotze anyway.
Now you're deceiving them. Now that they're not going to fit to go because they're difficult.
You understand?
Just make people happy then. Not like,
Now, listen carefully. I want to tell you something. Okay? Please listen carefully. The Chivu Tovto, as follows. Another thing is that, not always, especially for people in Ashkenazi yeshivas or things like that, Ashkenazi minyanim, although by Parashat Zachor and things of that nature, we're usually machmir for people to go, Ashkenazim should go here, we're going to speak about it next week, Ashkenazim should go here, Parashat Zachor from Ashkenazim, Sfaradim from Sfaradim. But with regards to Mikra Megillah, with regards to Kiddush, things that are midirabbanan, even though really kiddush is midoraita, but kiddush alayin is midirabbanan. A person can technically be yotze kiddush midoraita where? In his own tefillah, to arvit shelen Shabbat. Therefore, lidat, Maran Zichrono Berakha, if you want to go here, mikra megillah, from an Ashkenazi, it's perfectly fine. What about hearing from Hasidish? Mitzah halacha? Or even kiddush? You ever done with Hasidim?
Yeah.
So what's the halacha? Can you be yotze that way or not?
Is it chulub?
Huh? So here's the thing. Maran Zichron Bracha says that you're able to be yotze with Ashkenazim as long as you understand the words that they are saying. No, b'emet. They understand what they're saying, but you may not. By regular Ashkenazim, let's say by Litvaks, by, you know, usually, so they say, instead of, you know, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, they're saying, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. Hu Achashverosh. So you get the general idea of what they're saying. But many times, especially if you're not used to it, if you daven by Hasidim, especially, you know, the Hasidim with the very heavy Hasidish accents, they could be saying words that you have no idea what they're saying. Over there, you're not Yotze.
Also, by Torah reading or not?
By Torah reading is a little, you don't really have to be Yotze Torah reading. You just have to be part of a class. The same thing with Kiddush. If you go to Hasidim, so again, and not only Hasidim, let's not single out Hasidim here. Even by Timanim. You ever daven by Timanim? By Timanim also, they have a very, very different pronunciation. Their Nikud and the way they pronounce the Nikudot and stuff like that. If you're not used to it, you can also have no clue, yeah, what they are saying. Yeah, they say instead of Amonai, we say Adonai. Yeah, they would say Adonai. They talk like, yeah, anyway, they say many, their Nikud, the whole system over there is different. So if you don't get it, if you don't understand what they're saying, you're not Yotze by them either. You have to, you don't have to understand the translation of the words, but you have to be able to make out the words that they are saying. Now, as follows. Shamatata? Now, moving right along with Mikra Megillah. Women are also very much chayav by Mikra Megillah, believe it or not. Now, not only that, that's why you can make a bracha for Ashkenazim. It's a little bit different in terms of making the brachot, but according to Maran HaShulchan Aruch, which is the halacha that we follow, if you're reading Megillah only for women, you could still make all of the berachot. Asher kiddeshanu b'mitzvotah v'tzivanu al mikra Megillah. Not Megillah, because there's no yod there. The rimal is also rafui. It's not Megillah, ela me-re-lah. It's not e, because it's not chirik maleh, there's no yod. So it's me-re-lah. The lamed has a dagesh. Me-re-lah. Shamata? Merillah. Understand? Yeah.
So, did you say, regarding like, if you're listening to Hasidic accent, nonetheless, did you say that?
I was someone over here, I'm going to do it, and I don't.
By foreign language, you don't understand if it is
nonetheless. If you speak that language. Yeah. But you have to be able to make out the words that are being uttered in Lashon HaKodesh. You don't have to know the translation. You don't have to speak Lashon HaKodesh. But you have to be able to make out the words. If you have no clue, if you're listening to something and you have no clue what he's saying, then you're not going
to
say
it. Making out the word according to that.
Let's put it this way.
Accent?
Do you speak Swedish? Okay. If you listen to a song in Swedish, okay, is it going to mean anything to you?
No.
Okay. Now, you're going to hear the tune, but the words are going to be meaningless. Okay? Same thing, lehavdil, if a person reads Megillah in Hasidish, and you can't make out the words that he's saying, that kriya becomes for you Swedish. And the halacha is that you can only be yotze Swedish Megillah if you speak Swedish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
As follows. Yeah? Rabotai, listen carefully. Women are chayvim mikra megillah, you make all the brachot for them, al mikra megillah, sha'asan sim la'avotenu, and all of the other brachot. And if you're reading for a minyan of women, Maran Zichron Bracha, unlike the Ben Yishai who says you can't make the bracha after Rav Harav Tevenu, but Maran Zichron Bracha says if you're reading for 10 women, or even for 6 men and 4 women, which means that for mikra megillah, you can consider a minyan that is formed between both men and women too. You know why? Because women are just as chayav as men in Mikra Megillah. So that is basically the, again, you have to also, with regards to banging, I know it's everybody's favorite, not everybody's, but some people's favorite pastime of the Megillah is the banging and the, you know, and the some people don't stop at banging. Some people, you know, explode things and stuff
some
like
that. Some
people
take a big drum and call
it. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be very careful. These things, the fireworks, the firecrackers, whatever, they're very, very, very dangerous. You have to be very careful.
I was once at a Megillah reading.
Yeah.
They did it for every single Haman in the entire Megillah.
What?
Banging.
Stop
to bang at every
Haman.
My dad?
Listen.
What do they do by your shul? No noise?
Takshiv. By my shul. So, in Maran Zichrono Levracha shul, he told them he used to have a rule, no banging by any Hamans at all.
Wow.
Only after the Megillah. When we say Arur Haman, he said you take off Shefoch HaMatcha al Haman by Arur Haman at the end of the Megillah. That's it.
Rabbi Chaim, it's also like that. No banging at the very end on it.
Yeah, so now listen to this. We do like the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai said that the Minhag in Baghdad in Hishul was that they banged only first and last Haman. So, and even then, when you do the banging by the first and last, sometimes people jump the gun. It's called a false start. Yeah, the first one is and before you even say the word Haman, start banging and stuff. Guess what? In order to be Yotze Mikra Megillah, you got to hear Haman too. You know that. So therefore, the minhag is that even when there's banging, even when you only do first and last, the minhag is that the chazan goes back to read the word Haman after the banging, so that everybody can hear and be Yotze. We know that we want to blot out his name, but he still got a gear. So we're going to stop here. Bezat Hashem, next week we'll deal with some Dine Dikduk and some other halachot for Purim. So stay tuned, Bezat Hashem. Let's don't go nowhere. Bezat Hashem, we're going to say something now on the parasha.
Yeah.